And I'm not going to read all of Psalms 119. All right, Mariah, you can bring the lights up just a little bit in the house there. Why am I not going to read the whole chapter? Because it is 176 verses, right? It is the longest chapter in the Bible. All right? Longest chapter in the Bible. It is comprised of, just a little background on 119, it is comprised of 22 stanzas. Okay, they're each 8 verses long. So as you read through that, you're going to see that. So I'm going to turn there myself. All right, and you'll see that the first one is called Aleph, and the next one is Beth, and the next one is Gimel, Daleth, He, A, however you want to say it, Wah, right? That's verse 41 is Wah. Everybody say Wah. There you go. 49 is Zalin. So what those are is the Hebrew alphabet. You're just working your way through the 22 characters of the Hebrew alphabet, and each stanza is dedicated to one of those letters of the Hebrew alphabet, all right? But each, what's unique about Psalms 119 as well is that every verse is going to refer to the Word of God in some way, okay? It's going to call it God's statutes, His command, His Word, His precepts, His law, His commands. But it's all a reference to God's Word in some way, shape, or form, all right? All 176 verses. You read through it, okay? I'll challenge you, see if you can find it, all right? Okay? It's your homework for this afternoon. So Psalms 119, what we gather was written by a young man, young Jewish Hebrew man, that is going through a very difficult time in his life. He is facing, whether you call it suffering, persecution, opposition from evil, wicked people. It's a difficulty, and it's not just something that it was just short-lived. It was prolonged. It's over the long haul, and he's getting weary. He's getting tired of dealing with this difficulty, this crisis within his own life. But it's during this prolonged time of distress, persecution, and suffering that he digs deep into God's Word. And it's there that he finds many treasures. He was fighting for his life, spiritually, physically, emotionally. And as he turned to God's Word, he found help to help him in his time of need. I want you to imagine that you're stranded out in the ocean and sea. Capsized. You're out there in the water. You don't even have a life jacket. You're just treading water, right? Okay, and then you think back to those swimming lesson days, right? And you had to tread water. How long could you go? 2 minutes? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? Right? Maybe some longer, right? You can actually tread water for a long time. But imagine you're out there. The waves are there. And you're doing everything to keep your head above water, right? And stay afloat. And I believe a lot of us, that's what describes a lot of us right now, just with all that we have happening. It'd be one thing if we just had COVID hitting us, but then we have the things with racism and how that's impacted our nation. And now with school starting up, man, it's just, it's a lot happening. And it impacts our lives. When you have that prolonged stress and anxiety in your life, it impacts people's lives just as it has impacted the psalmist. So, suicide, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, all those things are going on as this pandemic extends on. So I want us to go to God's Word because I believe that's where we can find some help during this time. All right? And so before we do, let's bow our heads and pray one more time. All right? Father, this morning, we just come before you. We thank you that we can come to your word and that we can gather in this place, Lord God. Whether we're watching online or here, Lord God, I believe your presence can fill that place and that you can meet us in these moments we have. We give you the thanks. Make your word come alive. It is your living word. And we pray that it would speak to us today. We ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. So as we look at Psalms 119, the first verse I want us to look at is Psalms 105. And that's where we're going to get our first point that you can write in your program there. I got 7 of them. They're short, so I won't give you writer's cramps or anything, all right? But Psalms 105, what does it say? A lot of you know this. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Maybe you learned that in Sunday school. I don't know. Maybe you learned it at some point. Psalms 105. 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Back in biblical days, there were no streetlights, right? It was completely dark. And there was a danger of stepping into a hole. You ever done that? You're out maybe hiking or something, you step into a hole, twist your ankle, hurt your knee, fall, you could break an ankle. Yeah, you can get hurt pretty bad. Imagine doing that in the dark, walking down a path. So the lamp that they had would help know where to step, right? They could see where they're stepping, but it also gave some light for the road ahead so they knew where they were going, right? So the first point there is that as we pursue God and His Word, we discover, first of all, we discover light. We discover light. You know, in our world right now, I think we're searching for truth. We're in a difficult, confusing time. And as we go to God's Word, it can help shine light upon where we're at. It can help give us truth. How many have gone on a cave tour? All right? They get you back into the cave, and then what do? They turn off the lights. And then you go like this, and you can't see your hand, right? It's just dark, right? And they turn them back on. And, you know, sometimes it feels a little bit like that as we're going through this world, right? It's kind of like, where is the light? Where's the truth? This verse is important because it says God's Word can provide the light to our feet and to our path. Now, this pertains not so much to right career choices. It can. God says that if we seek Him with all of our heart, trust Him, that He will direct our paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But it really pertains to making right moral choices that will bless our life. That can deal with greed. It can deal with sexual sin. That's a big one right in our day and age. We've moved into an era right now where anything goes. But the reason God has guidelines and boundaries in place and light there is to bless our life, not to harm us or to keep us from fun, right? The temptations of popularity. There's also the sins of racism, of violence, of hatred, anxiety. Ooh, did you know anxiety is a sin? It is. Sinner. I know a few of you have that issue, including myself. All right? I'm a sinner. Selfishness. We can deal with all these temptations in God's Word. As we get in God's Word, it sheds light and saying, hey, this is right, this is not right. It helps us to walk on the path that leads to eternal life, to honor God, and to live a blessed life. As we pursue God and His Word, we discover light. We discover His truth. Amen? I'm not going to spend a long time on each of these because I got seven of them. All right? So I want us to look at the second one, verse 45. You can go back in verse 45. Here the psalmist says, I will walk about in freedom, for I've sought out your precepts. So precepts would be God's Word, His instruction. I'll walk about in freedom because I have sought out your precepts. The Hebrew word for freedom here means a broad and spacious place where there is safety and freedom. Right? You ever taken your kids out and they just run, right? Or maybe you have a pet dog, or cats don't do that, all right? Dogs do, right? You take your dog out. Our dog, you know, he's in a kenneled in area. We give him a little bit, kind of the back patio. But we take him to a place on Doan there, and he just runs. Man, he gets out there, and we let him off the leash, and he just runs. He knows where he can run, all right? And he usually abides by that unless a deer jumps up or something like that in town. Crazy, there's deer there. But he just runs, right? He likes that freedom. So the second one is freedom. As we pursue God and His Word, we discover freedom. Now, and that really means a broad and spacious place. Sin will only enslave you. You know, you may think, man, sin is so fun. It's so pleasurable pursuing it, right? Oh, we just cuddle up to it and it makes us feel so good. And then all of a sudden we realize, can't get out, right? We're stuck. We're addicted. We're bound. We can't get out of it. It enslaves us. Religion, in the same way, will restrict you. It gives you a bunch of rules and say, hey, follow this and you're righteous and you're holy. That's what the religious leaders did. I think the church in some aspects, some of the churches do that. Religion won't save you. It's only going to restrict you. As we walk with God in His Word, He will break the shackles of sin in the past. Sin that holds us. He'll give us true freedom. As the psalmist dug into God's Word, he found freedom from sin in general. But I believe he found freedom from more specific things, from depression, from anxiety, from revenge. I think he had a lot of revenge because he had people that were attacking him unjustly. You read through that. You read some of the stuff. Man, I think he had to deal with revenge and bitterness. But as he got into God's Word, he found some freedom. Found freedom from greed. And why, God, why is this happening to me and not other people? He found freedom. God's Word provides boundaries in our life so that we can enjoy freedom and experience God's best. So God's Word definitely has instruction for our life. Prescriptions, okay, if you want to call that. So if you go to the doctor, you get a prescription, right? Medicine to help you. That's what God's Word is. It's a prescription to help you out. Okay. Now, I'm going to use a metaphor, a story. Say if you were playing baseball, volleyball, basketball. How many like those sports? Okay. I know some of you like volleyball. All right. So we like to play those. But what if we set up the court right on the edge of the Grand Canyon? All right. Here's the court. Here's the edge of the Grand Canyon, and it's thousands of feet down. All right? How many would just really, really feel comfortable about playing there? Going for that, you know, just fearful. You'd be kind of edgy, right? Kind of like, I wouldn't feel comfortable playing, right? I'm going to stay over here, right? I'm going to stay far away from there. But if we put a nice, tall, sturdy fence along the Grand Canyon there, protected you from falling over the edge, how would that make you feel? Would that make you feel a little better? Yeah. Why? Because there's a boundary there that is there for protection. See, God's Word they're not rules to restrict you. They're rules and guidelines, prescriptions to bless your life or protect you so that you can enjoy the game, that you can enjoy life without falling off over the edge. Am I making sense? Parents often will put a fence in their backyard. Is that to restrict their kids? Yes. It is to some point, but it's so that they can run around in freedom in the backyard, right? Without getting lost in a cornfield or getting that someplace out they were not supposed to. It's to provide so that they can have freedom within safe boundaries, right? That's what God's Word is there for, is to provide freedom within boundaries so that our life can be blessed. So God's Word, as we dig into it, it provides, first of all, it provides light, and it provides freedom. Number 3, verse 28. We're going to go backwards, and then I think we're going to go forward. All right. Verse 28 says, "My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Usually that word sorrow is used in reference to grief. Okay, mourning the death of something or someone. I think we don't know of him mourning or weeping the death of a loved one. What we do know, he is mourning and grieving over what he has lost. Friendships, freedom, security, joy, safety. Those are the things that he is sorrowful. He's heavy with. But he says, as he goes to God's word, he says, "Strengthen me according to your word." Strengthen me. So the third one is strength. As we go into God's Word and pursue God's Word in His in Him, we discover strength. Now, I'm going to come back to that. I believe in the same way as individuals, we're mourning sometimes the loss of things right now that we took for granted prior to COVID, right? And sometimes we forget about it, and all of a sudden we go to the store, we go someplace, we maybe come to church, it's kind of like, oh yeah, COVID's still there, right? And so we can sometimes mourn, and that can weigh upon us. Maybe it's been seeing your parents, or eating out with friends, going to the pool, not wearing a mask, those different things. That was getting, COVID wasn't getting to the psalmist, life was. But COVID may be getting to you. Through God's word, we can find strength. Now he says, my soul is strengthened. Soul refers to our spirit man. You can call that our spiritual side, our spirit side. So there's a physical part to us, but there's also a spiritual side. His soul. And his soul was tired, it was exhausted, it was weary because of this prolonged crisis within his own life. It was weighing heavy upon him. But as he went to God's word, he found strength. He wanted his suffering to end. He wanted the crisis to end. Just like we want this thing to end, right? That'd be cool if we woke up tomorrow and it's gone. I don't think it's going to be. So we have to dig deep, folks, into God's word to find the strength that we need. Strength here means to give confidence, to give hope, to give encouragement. You know, if we have hope and encouragement and confidence, we can go through a lot of different things. We can endure a lot. I'm serious. We really can. It's when we lose hope. It's when we lose that sense of confidence that we give up. We throw our hands up in the air. And we give up. In God's word, if we can go there and dig in, we're going to find the strength we need for each moment, each day. Scripture says, give us to this day our daily bread. There's a good teaching on that. I think I've done that once or twice. But it really, the bread for today is what it really talks about. Often God doesn't give us the bread for tomorrow or for 10 days from now. He gives us the bread for today. And isn't it interesting? In the wilderness, when they went to get the manna, they got too much. What happened? They rotted. They were to get the bread for today. And God has promised to be faithful that he will give you the bread for today. As you go to him, he'll be that strength, that nourishment that you need as you pursue him and as you seek him with all your heart. Number four. So we're going to go ahead. You need to put it in forward now. All right. Verse 145 through 152. We'll read the whole stanza there. Cough. Okay? I don't want you to cough, but that's how you say that word, okay? 145 says, I call with all my heart. Answer me, Lord, and I will obey your decrees. I call out to you, save me, and I'll keep your statutes. You know, just these strong words. I rise before dawn and cry for help. Cry is a strong term. I've put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night. Sometimes we have those sleepless nights. That I may meditate on your promises. I hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your laws. Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. Yet, Lord, you are near, Lord, and all your commands are true. Long ago I learned from your statutes that you've established to last forever. The fourth thing that we see as the psalmist dug into God's word is he found hope. Okay? He found hope. He found hope. Notice he says in verse 150, he says, the wicked are drawing near, God. But what does he say in verse 51? What does it say? The wicked are drawing near, God, but Lord, you are near. God is not going to leave you. He'll never forsake you. Isn't that what Scripture says in the New Testament? Jesus says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hey, the wicked may draw in. Discouragement may draw in. The struggles of this world may draw near. But guess what? God is near to you. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's right there with you. He's there. You are near. The psalmist was not blind to what was happening around him, but he also understood, hey, God, you are with me, even in the suffering. You know, the thing about Scripture is that God has never promised that we won't have sufferings and trials. Right? What he has promised is that he'll never leave us or forsake us. And if we have hope, we can endure a lot. just as the psalmist found out. I caught this quote in one of my emails this week. It's from Herbert Cooper. You guys remember Herbert Cooper? He's attended Evangel. I'm talking to my... You know him? You kind of? He attended Evangel. So I don't know if he was with my sons. He's a senior pastor, lead pastor in People's Church in Oklahoma City. But he had a quote. Spend so much time with Jesus that you overflow with hope. Spend so much time with Jesus that you overflow with hope. And I think, folks, that's what we're struggling with because, and I don't have my phone, my phone's over there. But the problem is that we are spending too much time watching Facebook and the news and not enough time here. So if you were to do a log of how you spend your time and how much time, your phone will actually tell you how much screen time. If you have an issue, my iPhone will tell me how much time to spend on. I can probably tell you if the percentage, it's not 50-50. Folks. There's too much time there, not enough time here. And because of that, we don't have the joy, the strength that we need in this time. So if you flip that, if you were to spend more time in here, I mean, we have to know what's happening, and we have to know what the weather is, we have to know what's happening in the world. There was a car fire in Crete last night. Did you know that? There was. But too often what I find, so this is my confession, that the first thing I do, I get up in the morning and I go to my phone, and the first thing I look at Facebook. That's probably the worst thing you can do. Find out, oh, so-and-so went there, and here I'm stuck here, and they're in, you know, Hawaii, they're on a cruise. They're probably not on a cruise. All right, you know, you begin comparing or you see all the bad stuff in our world or we need to get into God's Word. And you hear me? Spend so much time with Jesus that you overflow with hope. The hope's not there. Dig deeper, folks. Dig deeper until that hope appears. Amen? Number five, go to verse 161 through 168. It says, rulers persecute me without cause. My heart trembles at your word. You notice he doesn't tremble at the people that are opposing him. He trembles at God's word. I rejoice in your promise like one who finds great spoil. Ooh, he just found the hidden treasure. I hate and detest falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous laws. Great peace have those who love your ways, your law. And nothing can make them stumble. I wait for your salvation, Lord, and I will follow your commands. I obey your statutes, for I love them greatly. I obey your precepts and your statutes, for all your ways are known to me. The fifth thing that the psalmist discovers in God's word is peace. Is peace. And he even says great peace. And dig into the original language, it just speaks of harmony and free of disputes. How does that resonate with you right now? It speaks of harmony and free of disputes. Wow, we're fighting over masks, right? Going back to school, fighting over masks. Wear them or not wear them. On Facebook. Right? Yeah. And I know there's deeper issues there, folks. But all that can steal your joy and your peace pretty quickly. Right out of you. Did I do a pretty good job of that? You want me to do that again? All right. That's okay. You know what? There may not be peace currently in our world today, but there can be peace in your heart. The psalmist is not trembling over the circumstances around him. He trembles at the presence of God's word. And I think, you know, have I ever read God's word and I trembled at the awesomeness of God's word, that it's impacted me in such a profound way that it touched my life like that. So again, are we focused on the news, social media, on our nation's problems, or are we focused on our great God? In America, we have this COVID thing. But here's the truth. Crisis can bring out the best. Did you know that? We don't like crisis in America. We think it's kind of like the end all. But I can guarantee you that a lot of the inventions, if you do your research, how many inventions were created out of crisis? Quite a few. And I can guarantee you, so for the church, this caused us to be better with our online presence. There's going to be some benefits from it. I can't say that I enjoyed it. I'd be lying if I said I enjoyed it. Okay? But it's causing us to do things better. Okay? The medical field, I can guarantee you that this crisis is going to lead to breakthroughs that are going to help save lives in the future, as difficult as it is. I've heard a good quote, crisis is the birthplace of creativity. Crisis is the birthplace of creativity. Now, I kind of, you know, there's nothing new on TV right now, right? But I happened to catch Apollo 13. You know, Tom Hanks is on that, Apollo 13. So they're going to the moon, right? They've already been to the moon once. Tom Hanks plays a character where he's already been there. He's looking forward to going back that second time, I believe, right? Am I right on that? And they're about ready there, all of a sudden, boom, right? Something happens. The oxygen tanks blow out. It takes a while to figure out. And so the rest of the movie, the bulk of the movie, is dealing with them figuring out how they're going to get back home, right? So they have to go around the moon. They come back. They have to shut down their power supply. They have to shut down other things. They have to figure out how to increase their oxygen level. They were in crisis mode. But through that, they learned how to do some things, you know. So the guy throws all these things on the table and says, hey, we need to figure out how we can get all this to work so that they can breathe and make it home. Crisis is the birthplace of creativity. So, you know, Tom Hanks, Houston, we have a problem. But they figured it out and it brought out the best in people through that crisis. They probably wouldn't want to go through it again. But we learned through that time and it made us better. You know, none of us knows what tomorrow holds. We don't even know what the next minute holds. But if you were to do an assessment, how much time, energy, anxiety are you spending on the future over things you can't control? I mean, we have to have a budget. We have to plan. We have to think about, hey, what are we having for lunch? Okay, I'm a guy, right? I got that planned out, right? Okay. We have to plan somewhat, but how much time are we obsessed with things out there this week, the next day, over things we cannot control? And you're worrying and it's keeping you up at night. Can your worry actually change something? No. It won't change one thing. Control the things that you can control. Things, the present, the things that are right here, right now. Focus on those things. Don't give much time to the things that are out there that you can't control, because it's going to steal your life, your energy, and it's going to just build anxiety and worry within your heart, and it's going to steal your joy. Focus on God, His Word, and on the things that you can control. Leave the things out of your control in whose hands? God's hands. But we always think we can do a better job than God, right? Come on, be honest. We don't know if we can trust God with our life. He has pretty big hands, folks. He put the stars in place. He created the world. He's been doing a pretty good job over the last several thousand years. He can take care of your life. You trust Him. And so for some of us, this is a good opportunity to really understand what trust is, because anxiety is a sin because it reveals a lack of trust. And I know some of you have been walking with God a long time, but still, you have anxiety. The time to trust God. God had to really show me that a number of years back. I was sitting down with one of my professors who was a counselor and said, Brent, what are you afraid of? Well, I shared with him some of the things I was afraid of. And when you face your fears, and you place, he goes, just really reveals a lack of trust that God is able to take care of this thing. It's kind of, wow. I'm walking with God all these years, and then all of a sudden I realize, man, I don't have the trust that I need to. So it's time to grow. Amen? Number 6, 137. How are we doing, man? All right. 137. 144. You are righteous, Lord, and your laws are right. The statutes you have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy. My zeal wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words. Your promises have thoroughly been tested, and your servant loves them. Though I am lowly and despised, I will not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is everlasting, and your law is true. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands give me delight. Your statutes are always righteous. Give me understanding that I may live. The sixth one here is eternal righteousness. As we dig into God's word, we're going to find a righteousness that is beyond rules, that is beyond religion. It is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The only way that you and I can ever be righteous is through Christ. We partook of communion this morning, and that symbolizes what Jesus did on the cross. And when he went to the cross, he extended to us his righteousness. He took our punishment, our sin upon himself, and it says that he extends to us his righteousness. Impartation is called, if you want the technical term, all right? But he imparts to us his righteousness. Because no matter how good we are, no matter how we try to do right, it's never going to be enough. We're always going to fall short. We do our best to live for God and to honor him. But as we go to God's word, we find a righteousness that is beyond us, that nothing else can provide. Through that, we walk in an honoring relationship with God, knowing his forgiveness, knowing his peace, knowing his holiness. Number seven. This is the good one. They're all good. But I was going through this in my devotions about a month ago, and I came to this last verse, number 76. We're going to jump in at 174. And this is the verse that just kind of, it caught me by surprise. I long for your salvation, Lord, and your law gives me delight. Let me live that I may praise you, and that your laws may sustain me. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commandments. You know, that last verse just kind of caught me by surprise. Because as I read through the psalm, it's kind of like, man, this guy is like, he's a scholar on steroids, right? I mean, it's just every verse, man, how much I love your word. And it's kind of like, man, he's at a level that I am not. You know, he quakes at God's word. And, you know, it's just awe-inspiring to him. And he gets to this last verse and he says, God, seek me. I'm like a lost sheep. I'm afraid I'm going to wander away. Seek me, God, because I have not forgotten your ways. I appreciate his vulnerability. That he was even willing to share his fears that he may wander from God during this difficult time of his life. And he cries out to God, the good shepherd. He says, God, seek me out. Seek me out. I'm seeking after you, but God, if I lose my way, seek me out. Find me. Because I love you. I love your word. You know, during any kind of uncertainty, it's easy for any of us, including myself, to lose our way. Like the psalmist, if we must be honest with ourselves, we can get disoriented. We can get hurt. We can be deceived by sin. We can become confused by what is truth. We can become discouraged and depressed. We can become isolated. And we can become numb. But here's the deal. Never lose sight of the fact that God is pursuing you. In fact, even before you were conceived, God had your number. And he was seeking you out. He was pursuing you even before the beginning of time. As you pursue God, understand that he is pursuing you. And it's unrealistic to believe that you're going to be pursuing God and following him and never have some stumbles along the way, that you're going to trip up, that you're going to get hurt, that you're going to get lost. Now, it's hard to get lost in Nebraska to some degree, right? There's just not really many big forests that you can just get lost in. There's a few. All right. But it's the truth. It's not like going into the Black Hills. I was there with my dad. My dad and mom are here today. And thank you for my prayers for my mom. She's doing better. Still a little improvement there, but needed, but she's doing better. But we were in the Black Hills, and that's one of the times where we're going through the Black Hills. We're trying to track some elk, going through the timber, and unfamiliar territory. All the roads are going like this, you know, and so we're supposed to go out to finish the next point. The only way that we were able to get from point A to point B is I had a GPS on my phone, and what I realized is that even though you don't have cell coverage, your GPS on your phone still works, and there's a map. So we were able to know exactly where we were going. It's kind of like, man, we thought we were heading the right direction. Look, we need to go this way. And they helped guide us the right way. Without that, we would have been totally turned around. Probably wouldn't have found our way. You know, God's word is like that, isn't it? It helps. It's that compass in our life. Because there are times that we can get turned around. We can get confused. We can get disoriented. Like a sheep, we can get lost. Not because we're a bad sheep. It just means that sometimes sheep get distracted. Right? Oh, there's something over there, right? And it's like, where did everybody else go? We had a kid like that. You can guess which one it was. Where did he go? In the airport. All right. God's word can help us. I'm going to have the musicians come. There's a hymn that's been around for a long time that we're going to close with. It was written by Robert Robinson. Robert Robinson didn't know God, and then he was influenced by George Whitefield, an evangelist in England. Got converted through him, came to know Christ. He actually went into training to become a pastor, became a theologian, actually wrote some songs, wrote the hymn we're going to sing today. But in the process of walking with God, somewhere he lost his way. He fell away from God. And after that had taken place, he was on a stagecoach ride from point A to point B. And there was a lady sitting across from him, and she was humming a tune. That was actually the hymn that he had written. So she's humming it away, and she goes, says, "Do you know this one? Let's sing it together." And he kind of bowed his head and says, "Yeah, I'm the poor guy that wrote that." And he had fallen out of a relationship with God, and he kind of was honest with her about that. And the story has it that while they were on that ride, that she prayed with him, and he brought his heart back to God. The hymn was, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." In that verse it says, "Room to wander, Lord, I feel it. Room to leave the God I love." Right? And it was kind of like a prophetic thing that he grasped within his own heart the fears that he had, that that many of us have, that the psalmist had. There's that fear that God, in the midst of everything, even following you, and even though we're in God's word, that somehow that we can lose our way. And I go back to that last verse. We're all like sheep that can lose our way. And our prayer needs to be, God, seek us, find us. We lose our way. Amen. So would you stand this morning and lead us in a prayer, and then just sing that together. And just worship the God that created us, that informed us, that has been pursuing us since the beginning of time. Father, this morning, if we don't know you as our Lord and our Savior, we'd like to do that this morning, whether we're here, watching online, Father, that you can reach out to where we're at. You can make that a holy place, Lord God. If we say, "Dear God, come into my life, forgive me of my sins," you are faithful. Meet us where we're at to do that, Lord. And if we make you the Lord of our life and get into your word and find a church where we can grow and we can mature, Father, you are walking with us each second. Lord God, this morning I pray that you would be present here with us, Lord God. I know this hasn't been a difficult time in any of our lives, Lord God. For some of us, it has been just a weight upon us, Lord God. And I pray that your word, your presence, can lift that in our life. And Lord God, that you can come in your own way to bring peace, joy, strength, light, and the promise that you are walking with us and pursuing us. All through this, you never leave us. Some of the things of this world, yeah, it's drawn near, but you are near to us. So, Lord God, pursue us. Strengthen us here this morning. We ask this in your name.